Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. Today is Friday, August 22nd. I'm Ula Kuziz. Former St. Louis Interim Commissioner of Corrections Doug Burris led the St. Louis City Justice Center for 7 months, and his short term in leadership ended last week. He says he wishes he could have done more for the troubled jail.
Imagine having a job where you go in wondering if you're going to have feces thrown at you one day.
I have been incredibly proud to have served them and work for them.
We'll hear more from Burris about conflict inside the jail and more on The Gateway. But first, a veteran of the St. Louis County Jail will take over leadership of the City Justice Center in downtown. Mayor Kara Spencer announced yesterday that Nate Hayward will start his role as the St. Louis Commissioner of Corrections on September 16. He'll replace Doug Burris, who had filled the role in an interim capacity since January after the previous director was fired. Hayward has spent more than 30 years with St. Louis County. He is currently the Deputy Director of Security, where he oversees the daily operations of the jail. The family of a detainee who died at the St. Louis jail is saying goodbye following a month of questions. As St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports, the family's lawyers say they need clear answers from the city.
Samuel Hayes Jr. died after an altercation with another detainee. His family says he was put in a restraint chair and convulsed for 20 minutes without regular check-ins. Jack Waldron is representing Hayes' mother, who is suing the jail workers, the healthcare provider, and the city. He criticized Mayor Kara Spencer at a press conference ahead of the funeral.
The current mayor ran on a platform of transparency and accountability, saying that she was going to be different than the other mayors in terms of the jail. What we've seen is exactly more of the same.
A spokesperson for Spencer said they don't comment on pending litigation. Hayes was the 20th person to die at the jail since 2020 and was facing first-degree murder and armed criminal action charges. He was 31. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
The St. Louis County Jail is also undergoing leadership change. County Executive Sam Page announced yesterday that Justice Services Director Keto Bess is leaving to take a position with the Colorado Department of Corrections. The county's Deputy Jail Director, Janelle Coleman, will become Acting Director on August 30th. Coleman has been working in correctional settings for more than 25 years, including more than 15 years with St. Louis County. Page said in a statement that Cole's background would make the leadership transition smoother. The county will do a nationwide search for a new director and interview internal candidates as well. Coleman will be the seventh leader of the jail since 2018. Bess was on the job for less than 2 years. Parents and community members in the Francis Howell School District are asking for more information from the school board after a former superintendent's sudden departure. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed reports.
According to reporting from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the board paid former superintendent Mike Dominguez nearly $230,000 after he resigned from his position on July 31st. He never ended up working with the district. During the public comments period of last night's school board meeting, Francis Howell parent Christy McLaughlin demanded more transparency from district leadership.
It doesn't have to be this way. With succession planning, respect for teachers and staff, and clear communication, transitions can be managed without leaving families and staff in the dark.
The district has tapped longtime educator Mark Delaney to serve as interim superintendent for the rest of the school year. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
The St. Charles City Council will hold a special session today to consider banning data center applications for a year. The resolution would create a ban on the acceptance of applications to establish or expand data centers. This comes after a proposed data center spurred public outrage in recent weeks in St. Charles. The data center's developer pulled its zoning applications ahead of a Tuesday City Council meeting. This one-year ban is sponsored by all 10 St. Charles City Council members. St. Louis area small business owners are feeling the weight of the Trump administration's global tariffs. Local grocery stores, including Global Food Market and United Provisions that specialize in international goods, started stocking up in advance on products before the tariffs hit. Shane Perpisel is chief operating officer at Global Foods Group. He says even though his company was prepared, it still faces challenges with importers.
we have to put up a lot more cash flow to secure the product. There's, I would say, you know, the importers are also a little bit skittish. So even for us, there's less to buy in the market because kind of the middlemen that get their product from overseas to the U.S., they're buying less.
Perpisal made his comments on St. Louis on the Air. Meanwhile, Harris Stowe State University is trying to increase the number of Black business owners in the St. Louis area through its Next Level Entrepreneurship Small Business Incubator. As St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports, one owner says the program increased her level of confidence in her business.
Amelia Robinson opened Shots by Amelia, a mobile bartending business in the area, nearly 10 years ago. She went through Harris Stowe's entrepreneurship program to help scale her business. Through the program's guidance, she created an elevator pitch and crafted a marketing plan. She says St. Louis is a great city for entrepreneurs because the community supports the products.
I think that's the difference between coming from like a bigger city where you do have the support there, but you have to do a little bit more footwork because there's so many different areas that are not in close proximity of each other.
The business incubator program begins in September, but applications are accepted year-round. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
A new warehouse safety bill that stemmed from the deadly 2021 Edwardsville tornado is now law. Governor J.B. Pritzker recently signed that bill along with more than 200 others. The bill addressed three areas. First, it mandates warehouse operators create a tornado safety plan. Second, it requires new warehouses contain a designated refuge area as a place to shelter. And third, it dictates building inspectors hold proper certification. The law was the creation of a task force that studied how to make facilities safer after the tornado killed six people at an Amazon warehouse. State lawmakers gave final passage to the bill at the end of the legislative session in May. Existing warehouses will have 120 days to get in compliance with the new law. New facilities will have a week after starting up for business, and inspectors will need to get certified by 2027. As Illinois lawmakers debate mid-decade redistricting, a Metro East state senator says it could be necessary to counteract Texas Republicans' efforts. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer has more from Illinois Senator Chris Belt's appearance on Politically Speaking.
Currently, Democrats occupy 14 of Illinois' 17 U.S. House seats. Many political observers believe it will be a tall task for Illinois Dems to further that advantage, because the districts are already gerrymandered. However, Belt contends Illinois Democrats did not draw the map to their distinct advantage in 2021.
We took in all the input that we could. We had open portals so people can upload their maps, organizations could upload their maps. I don't subscribe to the fact that we gerrymandered anything.
Belt says he hasn't heard anything definitive on if state lawmakers will be called back to session to redraw Illinois' congressional districts. If they do, the second-term Democrat believes it could be needed to respond to red states. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Doug Burris became the St. Louis Commissioner of Corrections 7 months ago with ambitious goals to increase staffing and improve morale. His short-term stint ended last week, but Burris says he wishes he could have done more. 20 people have died in custody since 2020 at the troubled jail, and under Burris's leadership, two detainees died. Burris sat down with St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wimbley to discuss his time as commissioner.
I have to say that the deaths were tragic and the worst thing that I've experienced in my 40-year career. And in no way am I saying that my feelings are stronger than what the families have to be feeling. I would like to talk more about it, but I've been given strict instructions that as long as the investigation is ongoing, that I'm not to say anything additional.
Mm-hmm. So in January, when you first started in the interim role as commissioner, you provided a list of 35 improvement recommendations and a 21-page assessment of the city jail. You recommended hiring older correctional officers, and you suggested that they be assigned to the more troubled areas. You also successfully brought some job programming back during your time here. Did you accomplish all that you set out to do?
Yeah, I absolutely did not accomplish everything that I would have liked to have done. When I came in, I thought we would be off and running within 6 months. There were several accomplishments that took much longer to take place than I thought they would. And the most important one is getting additional staff in.
Now, you haven't been at the CJC long, but from your experience there, can you describe the culture within the jail?
The honest answer to that is there's still some conflicting culture. We have some people who are there for all the right reasons and really understand that we are in a place where we can make a significant impact on public safety. We still have some employees that are old school, and occasionally we have to fight people who believe in mass punishment, and that just does not work.
What have you done to eliminate internal issues?
I've been involved in discipline issues more than I thought I would, but I followed the policy on those. I think, though, that we have others, including leadership such as Deputy Commissioner Tammy Ross, that lead by example.
What do you make of the matter of Ross being previously demoted by Clemens Abdullah for reasons allegedly that she broke state and federal laws by housing juveniles next to adults, and the deceased detainee was left lying dead for hours under her watch? What can you say to that?
I think that some of the allegations that have been reported have been greatly exaggerated. Her situation was fully investigated,
Okay. And
she is in good standing, doing an outstanding job.
Is there anything that you feel you could have done differently, would have done differently?
The partnerships that we established, I wish I would have connected with them sooner. I wish there were ways I could have showed staff more of my appreciation for the work, because could you have imagine having a job where you go in wondering if you're going to have feces thrown at you one day? And they go in there with great attitudes, the majority of them, knowing that they're going to try to make a difference in someone's life that day.
Now, what advice do you have for your successor?
Expand your partnerships. One of the areas that we were not able to complete is there are approximately 200 people in the jail that have been in there for 2 years or more. This is a facility that does not have access to outside. Most of the entire areas have no windows. So could you imagine not feeling the sun on your face for 2 years and not being guilty? The people that work in that facility have hard, tough jobs, and they work with some really challenging people. There are more than 100 people in that facility charged with murder, yet many of them come in with a great attitude, and they want to make a difference in the community. I have been incredibly proud to have served them and worked for them.
That was former interim St. Louis Commissioner of Corrections Doug Burris speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wimbley. Our Brian Moline edited that story. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Ola Kuziz, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thank you for listening to The Gateway.